And it's really important that we remember that we don't do this as an appropriation of somebody else's culture. We're not trying to steal it to make it our own, but rather we're doing it in solidarity with those for whom this is a huge celebration. A huge celebration that really maps out the journey of the Holy Family and identifies them as refugees looking for a place to land. And if that is not more appropriate this year than any other, especially after this last week, where we have found that many of our fellow country people are indifferent to the death of a young girl and instead are attempting to seek blame for a 7-year-old. I'm going to share something very briefly with you. This morning, I read on Facebook a post that my cousin and his wife made. And the post said that Sarah Jackson is all kind of stupid. Now, I don't know if you remember Sarah Jackson. She is a dear friend of mine who has come here and talked about Casa de Paz in Denver that helps migrants and folks who are in the detention center there. My cousin Gregory and my cousin Ann are the last two members of my family with whom I am in contact. And I blasted them. Not inappropriately so. I only share this because when we show up for this and say we are standing in support and solidarity for folks who are living this, we are saying we are willing to take risks, even if it hurts us in the process. That we are willing to put that which is comfortable to us on the line because other people are suffering far greater things than we can imagine. And so when we do something like this, we are engaging in a spiritual, sacred ritual that ties us and binds us to those others who are in trouble. Another way to learn about what is happening is to talk to people who are directly affected or are in relationship with those who are directly affected. And we are very fortunate because we have the most reverend Pat Dolan visiting us today, and I know that a lot of you know her because I think she used to come here. And Pat has a tremendous experience that she's willing to come and share with us today that will just sort of help us understand a little bit more about what's happening and really sort of give us reason and understanding as to why we're doing what we're doing. Pat. I wouldn't actually clap until she does something, but...
Yeah, wait until I get this figured out. We didn't have tech classes at this island.
I'll stand
Hello
over
there. Hi, I'm Pat Dolan, and I'm thrilled to be here this morning. And I see a lot of familiar faces, and I want, just on a side note, to say that this is where I did my very first sermon. So it is an honor to be back and up here again.
Don't make it your last. Love you.
I'm sorry, is this common?
Yeah.
It is?
Okay.
All right. Man.
Equal opportunity.
Okay. So my first question to you is, how far would you walk? That has become my mantra. How far would I walk? And I've thought about it so much. For safety, for get my kids to safety, would I think about starting out for Denver? Denver was a safe place. So maybe I would grab my child and I would walk to Denver and I would attempt that. How far would I walk? If I had to go up to Fort Collins, going to think about that a little longer. It's a long way. If I had to go to Montana, I don't know, I may just stay here and put up with whatever is happening. How far would you walk? The folks I met in Tucson, Arizona at Rincon Church, a UCC church down in Tucson, who are holding who have a shelter. They've closed it down temporarily. They'll reopen in January. They asked and answered that question, if you're walking here, we will open our doors. And so I went down there to help. They've had someone in sanctuary at Rincon Church for over a year. And so it was just Alberto there. But someone had to be there every night. Volunteers, a member of the church, someone had to be there every night in case ICE came to arrest him. And so they would have someone representative there that could call the lawyer that was on call. If there was a problem, call a doctor. Whatever it was, that they would have folks there. Needless to say, after a year, that gets pretty difficult. If you can imagine your church community for a year, someone has to be here every single night. Someone has to be here if the church is closed and doesn't have anyone else here. Someone has to be here during the day. How soon would your volunteers run out from the church? I can't do that this week. Because it's a lot to ask. Then they got a call that ICE had decided to let all these detainees go. And what ICE was doing was just taking them down to the bus station, dropping them off, and saying, good luck. They'd gotten approval to stay. Most of them had court dates in 2 weeks that they had to attend. If they did not attend it, of course, they would be here illegally. If they attended, maybe one out of 40 would be approved to stay. The others would be sent back if they made that court date. So now they have another decision to make. But in the meantime, they're in Tucson at the bus station. They don't speak English. They don't know what to do. They have sponsors. Okay, all of the ones being released have sponsors somewhere in the United States. But now they're at the bus station. They need to get hold of their sponsor. They need to get the ticket from their sponsor to where they are so they can get to this person's home. Needless to say, there was a lot of milling around. There was a lot of sleeping on the streets. And I can now attest that it does get cold in Tucson. It really does. At night, it gets cold in Tucson. So, in 24 hours, Rincon Church opened up a shelter. Now, what they have, they're very fortunate. They're an older church. And what they have is this entire wing of Sunday school classes. And so the church is over here. Sunday school classes are all along in this building, a row of them. And they have about 5 or 6 kids. Needless to say, they don't need all of those. They don't use them. So they set them up as shelters. They have a fantastic kitchen, which a member donated to have this professional kitchen put in. And so that they had, fortunately. When people came in, when I saw them coming in, they were all eyes down. And they were coming in timidly. And the spirit was not there. Even the kids were quiet. Even the kids were just being very careful of where they went. They didn't go running off over there. They stayed with mom or with dad. And about half of them were kids. So they would come in a group. ICE got where they dropped them off at the church instead of dropping them off downtown, which was nice of them. They would drop them off at the church. And they would come in, maybe 20, maybe 12. And they would come in, and Alberto, who is in sanctuary there, thank God he was there because he was the person that came forward and was in charge of checking them in. He stepped up, checked them in, welcomed them, assured them of their safety, gave them some of the overall rules and where things were. And then the first thing they got was a hot meal. Did not matter when they came in. Now, what I heard was in detention, they only get one, maybe two meals a day. And they don't get enough water. They don't have showers. And so they got a meal, a hot meal. They got a shower. They got clothes because they had a bodega there where they had collected clothes. So they went over and got clothes. And they started to calm. The first ones that kind of showed some resilience was, of course, the kids. And pretty soon they were looking at each other, because they didn't know each other. This is not like this is a large family group. These are just people that have been held in detention. They don't know each other. But the kids, of course, start looking at the other kids. And they go out, and they'd start playing. So I watched a volunteer at the church blow bubbles as these three little ones about this high were chasing after the bubbles and laughing. Then, after a couple, 3 hours, you'd see the parents start relaxing, start talking with each other, smile. One of the most important things I want to stress, and it goes with the question of how far would you walk? These are not people that do not have strength. These are the most resilient. These are the most courageous. These are the most determined people that are walking from South America, from Central America, from Mexico, all the way to the United States, hoping for a better life for their children. How far would you walk? So I went down there to spend the night to give people a rest. Now, let me say that it's not just the church community, and that was the other heartening thing for me that really helped, because I've been so full of anger and I can almost say hatred for the last couple years. It's kind of eats you up inside. But here were all these volunteers. They had over 100 volunteers from around Tucson, every faith, every gender, every race, every everything, just people saying, no, this isn't right. I'm going to help. And that was so reassuring to me that we're not alone. There are people all over that feel the same way about wanting to help these folks and do something. We're not alone. That was reassuring for me. When I started playing soccer, actually I started with, I found a soccer ball and I started rolling it to about a 2-year-old at the court. And so we were just rolling it back and forth. And pretty soon some other kids started kind of gathering around. And so I asked them, come and play. And some of the older ones started kicking it because they play soccer or football down there. And we were kicking it. I did fairly well. They were nice, kicked it right to me. So we'd kick it back and forth. And when they kicked, a lot of the young boys that were kicking it, their shoe would fly off. And they didn't have shoelaces. And it's not that their shoes always fit, but they didn't have shoelaces. And I had no idea why that was the case. But the shoe would fly off, and they'd kind of laugh and go get the shoe and everything. One young boy kicked it back like this, which I didn't even attempt because I knew I'd be down on the ground. And he did like that, and I said, bueno, and clapped my hands, and he smiled. And from then on, he kicked it like that and would look at me. And then I read more about the detention and found out that they take the shoelaces when they go into detention. It's a safety thing. Do they put them in a pile at the back door so that they can grab a pair when they're leaving? No, of course not. They're just gone. So these kids now have shoes that don't quite fit without any laces. And so when they want to do something as simple and childlike as playing soccer, their shoes go flying off. I've decided I'm sending down shoelaces for the bodega when they open back up in January, because that's a little thing, but then sometimes it's the little things. So I went down there, spent every night so that their volunteers could have a week off. I was there every night. It wasn't hard work. I slept. Nothing ever happened. ICE did not come there. And there was no emergency, so I slept, and then I helped in the kitchen. And I talked to the people as much as I could. I don't speak Spanish. And boy, do I wish I did. I am now looking for some conversational Spanish classes because I want to learn how to speak Spanish. So working in the kitchen, I would ask everybody, how'd you hear about this? Oh, they'd heard about it from a friend of theirs, or they'd seen something about it. All of these people coming in, only a few from the church. These were volunteers from all over. Providing food and shelter and clothing and safety. It's so easy. It's so simple. But it's something that sure is difficult to do sometimes in this culture. Does anyone have any questions you would like to ask about the church, the shelter, or anything else? I was told this was a talkative church, so just so you know. Yes? Well, these folks were coming in. They would come in for just a couple, 3 days. We would help them get in contact with their sponsors. We would get the ticket for them. They would get a little bit of cash to go on the ticket on the trip, and then they would be gone. So they would just be there for 2 days, maybe three. New ones were coming in every day. But while I was there, probably about half of them were children. We usually had... there were usually 20, 30 there at a time, and so about 15 children every day that were there, and it was changing. The numbers were changing. Some groups would have more children, and the age of the children, that's one of the things when I talk about walking, how far would you walk? Some of them are young. You're carrying them. You're carrying this child. You may have two, carrying one like this and another one on the hip. And so it was about, 15 children there every day.
What was the church community like on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night when the people, the building that are paying the mortgage or whatever, do they interact, and how does that go?
Wanted to know how the church community, asking how the church community reacted to this. And part of what, like I said, they got together in 24 hours. They got a call, said, we need shelter. And in 24 hours, they were up and running. So it was pretty amazing. And some were leery of it. Well, but those are our buildings, and they're just going to stay there, And so you had the ones that were a little uncomfortable with it. You had the ones that were totally... come on, can we get more in? Can we open up another room? So it was a split, and they closed down the 1st of December. They closed the shelter so that they could reassess, talk about it, figure out how to sustain this on a longer period. And so they've had their vote. I got an email. The day after I came back, I got an email that they had the vote. I think there were two abstaining, and everybody else voted, yes, we want to continue this shelter. So the church was definitely behind it, and they are now figuring out, how do we open this in January to sustain it for however long it needs to be sustained? Because there were things that they were tweaking all along to do this because they hadn't done it before. Their pastor's very strong into social justice. She's also very fluent in Spanish. And she has been down in Mexico. In fact, she had just come back from a trip to Mexico, seeing shelters down in Mexico. And so she had toured several shelters in Mexico, came back and got this call saying, we need a shelter. So it was definitely a, okay, God, I'll put this to use right away. And that's what she did. So they are still, you know, some of the folks are a little leery about it. It's not comfortable, you know, all the time. They have people that they don't know. They're on campus 24 hours a day. And so for some, it's very uncomfortable. And that's just the truth of any congregation that you have to deal with, of some are more comfortable with this than others. Does that answer you? Yes. See, I met folks from Honduras. I don't know how many miles that is. Somebody look it up really quickly on the phone. Honduras to Tucson. I met some Honduras, Guatemala, from Mexico, Oaxaca. I don't think I've met any from South America. Maybe. It seems like there was one from Colombia. I take that back. So we'll have the number in just a minute. Just say, hey, Siri. I'll say, hey, Siri. Yes. No, it is not. They have, and it's not the only shelter open. There are several churches that have shelter, and there were several of the churches that were contributing clothing, food, and different things, articles for the shelter. And so, yes, they are definitely working in collaboration with all a lot of other churches down there and a lot of organizations down there. 3,000 kilometers. Now, someone do the quick math. 1,600 miles. How far would you walk? You have a little one on your hip. Would you walk 1,000 miles? 1,800. See, preachers, I don't know. So 1,800 miles. Either way, I can't imagine. No, they don't have money. They may have a phone. Some of them had phones. So they may be able to call their sponsor. But their sponsor then finds out then that they have been released. Now we have to get a ticket to them. When they left the shelter, they were driven to the airport or to the bus station, most of them the bus station, where their sponsors had gotten tickets. But some of them had a lot of changes, and again, they don't speak English. There was one couple that, and their child, they were going to Florida. They had 7 changes on the bus, and they were just being put on the bus and given instructions of, you have 7 changes. They all left with a bag, one of the bags that you take into, you know, every time you go into the grocery, you take a reusable bag. They were given one of those bags filled with some fruit, some sandwiches, some water, a blanket, and each person that left there got one of those bags. And so when they were on the bus, they at least had something, and they were given some money. But this person that had 7 changes, they found somebody finally that had at least the first 4 changes. And would they help them make changes and get the right bus? So the first 4, they had assistance. The last 3, they were kind of going to be on their own, saying, you know, holding a piece of paper perhaps and saying, you know, keep helping, trying to get some help. So their struggle is not over when they get here. But again, these people are resilient. The ones who are coming here are the best of the best. The church did that, and again, from donations. They had a donation call out and asking for funding and donations, and they raised $30,000. They were open for 6 weeks. They raised $30,000, and they still have some to start in January to set up again the bodega, get the food, get the bags. That's one of the things they're asking for, is grocery bags like that. And of course, clothing for all the children, for the people. They need a lot of small men's underwear because they try to give them something fresh. They've also walked all those miles. It's not like they brought a suitcase with them. They come into the shelter with what they have on. That's it. That is it. But they're there. I can share a couple. One woman, when she came in and was extremely upset and frightened, she was with her husband and two children. One of the boys was a young teen, and the drug lords, the cartels, they were from Mexico, had attempted to force them to work for them. And so they had been beaten up. They had been threatened. Their lives were in danger because they didn't want to work for the cartels. And so they left to try to come here to not have that. I know one of them had been attacked and had seen her mother killed. And left then with her children. She saw her killed with a machete and left with her children to walk, to get out away from that and to be safe. The stories are varied, but there's one thing in common, and that is it is threatening, it is life-threatening. They're not going because they didn't have enough toys. They're going because they didn't have enough safety. And it was worth it to walk 1,000 miles to try to have some safety. And it was the week I was down there that they used tear gas on the border. And I can't tell you what it was like facing and being with these folks. They had missed that part of it. They'd gotten in. But knowing that so many of them were going to face that type of welcome after walking all that way to safety. And it doesn't matter the scale. This is where the story of that starfish, it made a difference for that one. I assume some questioning looks. But someone's walking along and picking up starfish that have washed ashore and throwing them back into the water. And someone says, "What are you doing? You can't possibly. Look at the hundreds of starfish here. You can't." And he picked it up and said, "It makes a difference to this one." And that's what we can do. Yeah, and you're right. And that's why I say that's not the only shelter in Tucson. There's lots of shelters down there that have opened up. And that's, again, there's so many people that want to help. So we can be reassured by that. We can be comforted by that. But don't get too comfortable, because this is a humanitarian crisis like we have not seen in my lifetime. Other questions? Okay. Thank you for letting me come and share. Whatever we do, if we do it with love, then we are following Jesus. And we are on the right side. So continue. Continue the work you do. I know you guys are into mission and into helping. And I know that there are wonderful people here. So continue.
Usually, we talk about our joys and concerns, and I don't want to diminish those, but I would like you to hold them today.